Welcome back to Community Living, and we're here today with Cameron Brown. He is a high-performance coach. He has developed the Dream, Live, Give movement to help people towards their big dreams. He has sold or donated 99% of what he used to own to embark on a global quest to inspire people to dream big, live fully, make an impact, and to show firsthand how he has, in a distracted world with technology, can actually improve our performance, our mental health, our depth of connection, and our depth of connection with each other. So, that's a lot. Welcome, Cameron.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, we're here trying to make as big an impact as we can ourselves with our media. So yeah,
right.
So, so where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in Buenos Aires in Argentina. I arrived here 2 days ago to record some new music on a grand piano that I have in my apartment here. And it's after spending the last 3 months in Colombia and the last 7 days up in the rainforest in the middle of nowhere, basically, for a reforestation project filming there. No internet, no electricity most of the time as well. So it was a pretty cool experience. But, very happy to be down in Buenos Aires now.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions because there's a few things that most people who live around here and have never experienced totally no electricity. and because I'm a big fan of the night sky, so I'm going to add, first question is, what did the night sky look like without having any of the street lights or any of that sort of stuff?
Great question. The first night I got there, actually, I mean, I'm from outback Australia, and so growing up as a kid, absolutely loved looking up at the stars at night. And as I've travelled, there hasn't been a huge amount of times where I've seen just an abundance of stars, but that was the first night. There were barely any clouds, and it was a few of us that were there, and we had a small fire, so it wasn't making too much light, and looking up at the stars, it was absolutely amazing. So saw a shooting star shoot across the sky, which was awesome. And it's a pretty cool spot to be up in northern Colombia, because it's not only isolated, it's still pretty warm at the same time, and so you're able to be outside at night time in shorts and a t-shirt and still be pretty comfortable.
So the next no electricity question is, of course you were there without cell phones and computers, all that sort of stuff, limited battery life. What were the connections with the people that were just around you? How did you feel, like, the emotional connections? How strong were they?
Yeah, I mean, there were more time. It was interesting because I was there for a filming project, so we needed to hike. I'll mention that shortly. We needed to hike to charge my batteries. But there was much more time for conversation. I actually spent two of the days. With a couple of Venezuelan people who were there for the project as well. They didn't speak any English. I still don't speak much Spanish. I'm probably getting there, but it's still a challenge for me. And so, we connected over that. It was a couple of nights of teaching each other different words and different phrases. Some in Spanish, some in English, and it was really amazing just being in the middle of nowhere talking to these people who were strangers up until a few days ago, and connecting on a level that would normally have, there almost be a disconnection there. So that was really cool to do. One of the other guys who left after a day or 2 days of being on the project He had to fly to another country. And yeah, we had, again, really deep conversations about life, about emotional intelligence, about environmentalism, and it's one of the big reasons for being there. And so the conversations really flowed well, but then in terms of charging the batteries, I mean, we had to hike about an hour because I have we were capturing drone footage and other footage like that. Mm-hmm. And the only power that we could generate was USB power through a very small solar panel at the house. So everything else that required full battery charge from a socket, we walked. It was about an hour, and it's probably the most humid conditions that I've ever been exposed to. Walking through that in a heat uphill, it's really steep upwards. It was a humbling experience in that a lot of things that we take for granted as human beings, especially in the developed world, that just simply aren't accessible to other people in different parts of the world, from food to water to electricity and other things. So it was a pretty humbling experience at the same time.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I had to ask those questions, because most people we're talking, most of our listeners live in pretty much an urban area, or if they are in a rural area, that they still have electricity, there's still a wire connected to their house, there's still television, mm. there's still all these other things. Let's move into what do you actually do as a coach?
Great question. I run a company that's all about empowering people to make a greater impact in the world. It's about the fact that people can make an impact on three different levels. They can make an impact in their own lives, they can make an impact in other people's lives, and they can make an impact to the planet as well. And so I work a lot with those that are running companies, those that are, they might be not running companies, but still wanting to make an impact in the world. They can be influencers as well, people that have a considerable influence and are wanting to utilize their unique talents and strengths, whatever that is, to make a greater impact. And I love helping people do that, love helping people break through the perceived barriers that are holding them back from living an outstanding life and building an outstanding company, if that's the area that they're focused on, and allowing them to experience life as they really want it, rather than maybe the way that things have been up until now. I absolutely love helping people to transform, and I'm a big believer in being a living, breathing example of the stuff that I coach on.
What do you think are two of the biggest things that hold people back from making that impact?
I think one of the first up is ourselves. For a lot of people, and coaching a lot of people around the world now, and speaking with many more, this notion of worst enemy versus best friend. And they're two ends of the spectrum. A lot of the time, either somebody will be their own worst enemy or their own best friend or somewhere in between. And if you're your own worst enemy, you're spending far too much time with yourself not to enjoy your own company, right? But that's what happens with a lot of people, where they have certain situations that happen to them in life. Then they might start beating themselves up, or metaphorically, psychologically, bringing themselves down, feeling like there are things that have happened in their life that are outside of their control, and so they feel powerless. And the moment that any of those types of things happen, then it ends up that we're giving away our power, we're giving away responsibility, we're blaming other things, other certain circumstances, other people in our lives for the way that our lives have turned out, rather than taking full responsibility for what that is. Until you take full responsibility, you're going to be at the mercy of your external environments, and that's not going to allow you to really generate the happiness and the satisfaction internally, which then allows you to go outwardly. I would say the other big one is is listening to what other people have to say. I think this big one, it comes a lot from when, again, I think these two working well together, in that if you're not certain of yourself and what you're wanting to experience in life and the emotions you're wanting to experience, you can be pretty quick to listen to what other people have to say. And that's okay from time to time, but I know the amount of times where people have said, maybe you should go get a job, or when I moved from a vegetarian diet and into a vegan diet as well, which I still live now, people, certain judgments come in, and if you allow those judgments to come in, then you allow yourself to be sacrificed in the process, versus allowing yourself to say, you know what, now this is what I want, this is what I want to experience, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to ensure that that comes to fruition. And when you truly become that, what I find is that the things that people try to drag you down for the most is usually the things they fear the most, and the things that actually inspire them the most in the long run, when they have enough reference points to know that it's safe enough to move forward. And so that's there are a couple of the big parts. It really starts with self. Until you truly overcome the barriers that you're experiencing internally, I found that you're unable to really and genuinely make an impact externally in a way that makes you feel alive and makes you feel like you could do it forever and feels aligned to why you're here on this planet.
Yeah. Sometimes listening to other people, I'll say this. If I would have listened to other people, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. There wouldn't be a radio show if I had listened to other people, right? Because I've heard it several times. It's like, oh, just pack it in and go get a job.
I think that a really important thing to mention here is that, and I saw this early on as well in my when building a company, into year number seven now, much earlier on, what I found is that I was feeling like things were moving forward, but the physical reference points for how something is moving forward, other people haven't necessarily seen yet. And so while you've possibly emotionally decided, or are generating, from a return on investment point of view, for example, an emotional return on investment, you're feeling better about your health if you're making some changes to your health, for example. You're feeling better about leaving your job and starting a business. You're feeling better about maybe moving into a relationship. The feelings are there, but there isn't necessarily physical reference points that people can actually see. And so until they see them, they're attached to the old version of yourself usually, because they haven't got anything to attach to yet. And so what I found is that I had to generate the emotional confidence and commitment to myself, and allow myself to drive those reference points in, knowing that everybody else has got their well intentions, and it'll come a time when people will be able to see those reference points like I have been experiencing emotionally, but they'll be able to see them physically, and all of a sudden that changes people's perspectives. And so I think that's really important to know and understand, because just because somebody's trying to it can be a perception trying to drag you down in a way, or trying to hold you back from achieving what you really want in life. Knowing that the people that are most important to you are there to support you, are there to love you, and those who aren't truly like that will end up falling away, and those who are tend to fall into line when they know that there's no other way and you're not going back to the way things were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that also, I've experienced that too. It comes down to, I don't know, what do you think, that it comes down to how people view success, view what they want to do, and the fear comes in. It's like, yeah, I wish I could do that, but I was too afraid to, so I'm going to try to stop him from actually making the mistake of doing it himself.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of this is fear based, but to clarify it, I think it's pretty simple to understand when it comes back to our evolution. So we go back thousands and thousands of years when we're cavemen and cavewomen, and there's a saber-toothed tiger outside of the cave, right? And you're about to walk outside of the cave, and the woman or the man just says, "Stop, stop, stop! It's a saber-toothed tiger out there." And so you come back inside the cave and make sure that you wait until the saber-toothed tiger is gone and it's not going to eat you anymore. And so you're planning that out, right? So it comes down to the chance of physical death, physical danger. Mm-hmm. Whereas we fast forward to now, to today's day and age, and you know, you're talking about those listening in, a lot of you are in urban areas. The chance from a physical death point of view, physical danger, there might be some situations that are physically dangerous, but right. For a lot of the situations, especially the ones that we've been talking about so far, a lot of them are more about psychological danger, psychological death. And if somebody is perceives that threat as a potential threat to somebody's survival, then all of a sudden they're going to try and hold them back because they believe they're keeping them safe. Safe from the saber-toothed tiger, which is the relationship they're going into, or the job they're going to start, or the health they're going to improve upon. Mm-hmm. And it's based on, their experience of there's a saber-toothed tiger out there, it's going to eat you, it's more than likely it's going to kill you, don't go, yeah?
Right.
And because each time they've gone out of the cave, they've seen the saber-toothed tiger, and then they saw it again, and then they saw it again. And so their perception is that the saber-toothed tiger is out there all the time.
Right.
And it's just that they haven't experienced reference points for how, actually, it's not there all the time. And so what happens is they end up generalizing. This is one thing we do as human beings to be able to function in the world. We generalize information, which allows us to package it up in a way that says, well, I can't trust anybody, or all people are evil, money is evil, or on the other end of the spectrum, in positive, is I get along great with everybody, yeah? And so generalizations can either be supportive of your success or detrimental to your success. And if you're listening to people who have fears based on their previous experiences, which aren't your experiences, then that's a challenge that you've got to overcome in terms of saying, you know what, I'm going to go and test this out. I'm going to go and build my own reference points rather than listen to somebody who hasn't even got the reference points for where it is that I'm wanting to go. It's one thing to listen and be mentored by somebody or coached by somebody to help you break through the things that are holding you back. That's extremely valuable to do. But to listen to someone who hasn't been there, who hasn't experienced it and is basing their solutions on fear rather than abundance and rather than moving forward and working out how to solve specific challenges, that's a recipe for a bit of pain coming up.
Okay, the recipe for pain that you just mentioned, it may not necessarily in this instance may not necessarily be a bad pain. You know, the pain of am I going to make enough to meet today's this month's rent or something like that? That's in some respects that's actually kind of a good pain. It means that you're moving forward with something, you're exploring something new, right?
Yeah, I mean. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to experience some pain. It just comes down to whether that pain you're going to experience is pain that's keeping you stuck or pain that's moving you forward. Mm-hmm. It's never about experiencing happiness and joy all of the time. Life is a sea of contrast. Life you can't possibly know a beautiful, bright blue sky day without knowing first a dark, cloudy, stormy day. Yeah, you don't know. You can't appreciate, because if you just had blue skies every day, it's like, oh, another day. It's blue skies. There wouldn't be the appreciation for it there. And so it's the same with emotions, is that you can't appreciate, truly appreciate the happiness that you experience without the sadness that you experience as well. We as human beings have the ability and the opportunity, and it's just beautiful to be able to experience this full sea of contrast, of a full wave of emotions. And usually your body or your mind or universe or whatever your beliefs are constantly giving you a guiding system as to what it is that you're experiencing, what things need to shift and change so that you can actually move forward and allow yourself to experience what you really want to experience.
Yeah. You're right.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
Don't you stuff it in your face.
Don't stuff it in your face.
Though it might look good to eat.
Though it might look good to eat.
And it might look good to taste.
And it might look good to taste.
You could get sick.
Ick.
Real quick.
Ick.
Real sick. Real.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Don't put it in your mouth. Put it in your ear.
Don't you put it in your mouth.
And you're listening to Community Living Radio, and we're going to get back to Cameron Brown here on the NCRA networks and broadcasting from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Being a coach is important work in that direction that people, if people need to move forward, our planet needs to move forward in order for our species to survive. we need some serious breakthroughs before we hit a crash, right?
Completely. I mean, that's a big part of what we mentioned before around impacting you, not only yourself but also others on the planet too. It's one thing to be able to break through the things that are holding you back. It's another to be able to do them in a way that's not only supportive of your own success, mm-hmm. but also the supportive of others and also the planet too. If somebody succeeds in their own life, and maybe even if they help other people as well, but let's say they're building a company, for example, or however they're choosing to live their life, if they're doing that in a way that's actually detrimental to the planet overall, then that's a big problem, because as you speed up the rate at which you succeed, then that's going to mean that you're speeding up the rate in which things are falling into decline from a planetary point of view. And so you've got to be thinking about, as what I work with clients as well, and me personally as well, if we look at the Amazon rainforest right now, right. 80% of the rainforest is being cut down for cattle ranching right now. That's 80% of the rainforest that's being cut down in the Amazon right now is for cattle ranching. And so for me personally, I moved to a completely vegan diet based on not only cruelty to animals and for my own health, but because of statistics like that. that, at the very least from a beef point of view, to me it's just crazy to be consuming the things that the very things that are creating the deforestation of the things that are keeping us alive. So understanding, well, okay, it might have tasted good or whatever it is, but if it's not good for the planet, then you've got to be thinking about, well, how can I live more consciously? Another one for me personally, and I encourage people to think about this as well, is a minimalist lifestyle. Mm-hmm. As we live as a species now, we are extracting far more resources than we need out of the ground for things we often don't even want, and add no real meaning to our lives, and yet we're extracting these resources out of the ground that have been there for billions and billions of years. And for what? There's so many things that we don't even use. I mean, you just have to look at cars, for example. The studies that have been done to show that over 90% of the time, on average, cars are not being used. So that's a huge amount of resources to be pulling out of the ground just for something that we're using less than 10% of the time. And so there needs to be, I'm a big believer in still owning some things. I mean, I own two bags of stuff and that's it now. I have the picture that I put on social media yesterday of everything that I own fitting on the back of a motorbike. that might be an extreme example, but I've mentioned about being a believer and being a living and breathing example of what I speak and coach on. But think about, well, what are some of the things that I could remove out of my life? Because at the end of the day, there's certain things that if you're not using, then why hold on to them? Why not let go of them? Because in letting go, it allows you to the freedom to focus on the things that matter most to you, but also it allows you to be better, doing better for the environment too. If you own and purchase the things that you use consistently, all the things in my two suitcase, or this medium-sized suitcase and there's a smaller bag, everything in there I'm using consistently,
right?
Every single month, everything in there is being used. Everything that I don't use consistently, I share. And so I'm here, for example, I used to own a piano back when I used to live in Australia. Now I'm here in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. I've just moved into an apartment for the next 2 months, which has a concert-grade grand piano. And I'm able to record new music on there. It's beautiful piano. I'm able to create. It's been amazing to create just in these last couple of days alone of being here. But I'm sharing that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's no need to own certain things. You're able to share it instead, which again is better for the environment. So be thinking more and more about how can I live in a way that's not only aligned to what I'm wanting to experience, but also helps others to be inspired at the same time as being good for the planet too.
So on a really personal level, deep inside of Cameron, what do you get out of working on this project?
Good question. Let me have a think about that for a moment, because it genuinely is. I get personal satisfaction out of seeing people happy and seeing people doing things for the environment and living in alignment with these three levels. So there is absolutely that personal satisfaction. But I mean, the big one for me is that I see it firsthand. I've been to places in the world where seeing trees cut down, like seeing them with my own eyes, seeing mining companies destroying different parts of beautiful landscapes, and seeing some amazingly remarkable things at the same time. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm a big believer that if we don't make some dramatic changes to the way that we live our lives and run our companies, then we're in some deep, deep trouble. And we're seeing the physical impact of that right now. We're already seeing it. And so for me personally, I want to be at the end of my life knowing that I did what I could do to allow us as a species to evolve through this period of change and allow us to live in alignment with the planet, allow animals and plants and everything else that's on this planet to be in balance, and allow us to connect to what really matters. That's at the end of the day, that's what it is for me. It's a long term thing for me. There are times when I'm up against it and feel like all is lost and there's just no hope and it's about getting myself back into alignment when it seems like there's a lot against you, to ensure that I can continue on doing the things that I believe can make an impact in the world and allow us the best chance of evolving through this period.
Great. What would be the ultimate impact for you to make on the planet right now?
Right now as in today, or right now as in over my lifetime, or both?
Let's start with today, and then we'll get into lifetime. How's that?
Right? we'll go real macro. Yeah. Right now, I mean, I'm loving creating music on the piano. I've got a number of impact films that we created in Colombia. There's petroglyphs that were discovered that barely anybody has seen in the world. There was an animal sanctuary project, a place where kids come to play. And there was another one. There was a reforestation project in northern Colombia. So a lot of different projects that I worked on in film projects to create and help to tell their stories. So creating the music for all of those and piecing them together into the impact films that will be released over the next month or two. That's definitely a big focus from an impact point of view at the moment. And continuing to write music that's making an impact. And the other part is obviously continuing to service my clients that I work with ongoing, and continuing to help people break through the things that are holding them back for those that are really ready to take their life to the next level.
Yeah. It just feels good to help somebody else, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to formulate it into a question, because I don't even know how to describe for myself what it feels like to help people, get across, because for me it's all about helping people get their message out to the public, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really just hard to describe that you get this tingly all over you that, hey, I did something for that person, and you did it for heartfelt reasons, right? So it's hard to formulate that into a question. How do you describe that to another person?
I think, when we look at it from an evolutionary point of view, helping somebody else is helping to strengthen humankind, So if we look at it from that standpoint, it makes sense that we would experience the feeling of like you talked about, a tingling feeling, mm-hmm. A feeling of alignment, a feeling of like I'm doing what I was put on this earth to do, by strengthening the human race, where we're increasing our chance of survival from an evolutionary standpoint. And so it would make perfect sense, as I mentioned, to experience those types of experiences, those types of emotions, when we allow somebody else to fulfill on what they're really wanting to fulfill on, especially when it's, again, we come back to in alignment with not only ourselves as humans, but also allowing them to make a difference in the world in a way that allows the planet to move forward. So I think it's an incredibly valuable thing to do, because one of our needs as human beings is to connect with people, is to contribute to something bigger than just ourselves. That's what gives us meaning. If it's just about ourselves, then it's a pretty lonely existence. And again, from an evolutionary point of view, that's not really going to cut it. That's not the way that we're made up. We're made to connect, which allows us to then evolve. It allows us to improve. It allows us to love each other, to build relationships, and to contribute, again, to something bigger than just ourselves, whether that's a specific person, a specific project, or the planet overall. That contribution, that sense of meaning in our lives, that sense of, wow, I really feel like I have a sense of purpose. You build that, and you build that in a way that's not only to do with yourself, but also others in the planet too, then it doesn't matter what challenges you're exposed to. All of a sudden, you're able to handle anything, because it's not just about you anymore.
Yeah.
It's not just about you. It's not just about the challenges you're experiencing, but it's about how can I help solve the challenge that somebody else is experiencing right now, or what the planet is experiencing right now from a challenge point of view. And how can I help solve that all of a sudden you're lifting yourself and raising yourself and raising the stakes that it's not just about your own crap anymore, which you can easily just fall back inside of your comfort zone. But if there's a greater sense of purpose there, a greater sense of reason why it is that you would overcome those challenges, you're much more likely to do so.
Right. I almost forgot what I was going to ask there. So we're talking about impact and that's what it was. Okay, so you mentioned mining and you mentioned rainforest and all like that. I have literally watched a mountain disappear because they were stripping the copper out of it.
Mm.
It's like over time, the mountain went from being half decently big to just being a hill.
Mm.
Okay, so you think about how we're stripping the planet down for the technology that we have, and we can see if we look out our windows, we can actually see the physical cost to the planet, because I don't think that cutting down the rainforest is progress. I think that's regress. But the thing is, as far as the human connection and the connection to the planet, do you think that we're more connected with all this technology, or do you think we're falling away from the connections that we really need to have?
This is really important to discuss, I feel, because technology isn't pointing to the problem. Technology isn't the problem itself; it's pointing to the problem. We as a species right now, a lot of people are becoming more and more disconnected from themselves, from each other, and from the planet. And this is a really big issue that I've seen within, you know, as I've been working with clients and around the world too. At the end of the day, this comes back again to self and being able to connect with yourself to be able to then connect with others. So let's unpack a few things here. The first up, there's a framework that I created called the Zone of Impact. And so if you imagine those listening in, imagine two circles, right? Mm-hmm. A Venn diagram. So they're connected together, but they're separate, you know, on other ends. On the left-hand side, you've got your internal self, your talents, strengths, your values, your beliefs, your emotions, your thoughts, your fears, everything inside of you. And then everything external is on the right-hand side. So external, your relationships, technology, nature, extracting of resources, work, everything outside of you. And then when you come into contact in the middle here, that's the zone of impact. And the zone of impact is a magnifier. Now, if you're disconnected from yourself on the left-hand side, and you bring that into the zone of impact with something else externally, then what tends to happen is it tends to magnify that which you feel about yourself currently. And so if you...
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
Get him out of here. Get him the hell out of here. Get him out of here.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
They call me
DJ Ray.
The late night show is the start of the weekend. Tune in every Saturday mornings from 12:30 a.m. till late, right after the medicine show. Email us, CITRLateNightShow@gmail.com.
This concludes our proposal. Thank you for your attention.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
If you are running a company, for example, and you don't feel connected to yourself, then it's going to be pretty challenging to connect with your staff, which means that you can become a dictative type of leader. You can find it difficult to connect with nature, which means that you'll do things within the company that aren't in alignment or aren't caring for the planet. And it's only self-interest, because you need to get the things that you need to get to know that you're good enough, right? And so it magnifies that which is within you. Same goes with relationships, for example. And let's talk about technology. With LinkedIn is a great example of this. I use it for building of relationships all around the world. It's a phenomenal tool. But it could also be a very destructive tool, in that it could create a whole sea of shallow relationships. And if you feel that you, let's say they've got a fear of being rejected, mm-hmm. Let's go with rejection. What, another one could be just think in the back of your mind about that you're unable to trust people. That's a big one I find with a lot of people. But let's say rejection. Fear of rejection, and because something happened when you were a child. And over time, it's grown stronger and stronger, where that fear is still playing out, but it's unconscious underneath the surface. Now, if you went to a networking event or some type of gathering, friendship gathering, and you went there and you didn't have that great a time, you might have met 5-10 people, you didn't get along that well with them, you go home, it's not that great, you don't feel that good about it, but you'll get back up, dust yourself off, and you're okay. But if you go onto LinkedIn, for example, and you've got, say, 1,000 connections or 2,000 or 10,000 or, you know, I've got probably 12,000 connections now, you've got that many connections, and then you go and send out some form of contact with them, whether it's a message or something else in terms of touching base with them, and you don't get responses. That technology is also magnified off the charts inside that zone of impact. How rejected you feel based on your experience, based on your own makeup. Now, on the other hand, is if you've got a healthy map of the world about, man, people would be crazy not to talk to me. I'm awesome. I add so much value. I'm here. I'm vulnerable. I'm trustworthy. And people absolutely love talking to me. And you come into that sphere, then all of a sudden you're bringing a totally different frame of mind. And that brings out a totally different result as well. And so when it comes to these, the technology and connecting, I think we're at a really interesting stage of our development and our evolution as a species, because technology is speeding up at an even faster rate. And you bring that into the zone of impact, along with people's lack of emotional intelligence in a lot of cases, mm-hmm. then that's a recipe for disaster. And we're seeing this in the form of, there's been increase in suicide rates, for example, in younger people. And other age groups too. There are certain factors involved there, but one of those is, and there's more. I think more and more studies will come out. There's studies starting to come out that are showing it, but because it's so new, it's difficult to show firsthand how much of an impact this is making. But when we just look at it from that framework standpoint, is if you need other people's approval to know that you are good enough, and you don't get that, then all of a sudden you're not generating the value or the validation that you're good enough, which means that it can move you further away from feeling valued in this world. And what then happens is then you end up needing it more and more and more, just like an addiction, because you got it once and now you need it again and again and again, because you haven't got it within yourself. And so if we're unable to connect with ourselves, then we need to connect from somewhere else. It just comes down to whether that connection is in an empowering or a disempowering way. And in a lot of cases right now, it's in a disempowering way. But the beautiful thing that we have available to us right now is the opportunity to connect on a really, really deep level. It's just that we've got to learn to utilize these tools in a more empowering way. Technology is one of those. For me personally, I am so appreciative of technology for the ability for me to have built relationships with people all around the world now, and now to be able to call my friends is just phenomenal. When I hadn't even been out of the country 2.5 years ago in Australia, it's a beautiful thing like that. But the other thing I think is really important here is not only to utilize these technologies to deepen the relationships that we have versus create more shallow relationships, but also the connection to nature. When you're in a city, when you're in your downtown or in suburban areas, it can be challenging to connect with what matters most, with nature. My highest recommendation, if you've got any nature close to you, don't make an excuse to say, oh, it's too far away. Find somewhere that you can connect, even if it's just a small park that has some nice trees. You go there and just notice how you feel. Just notice whether you feel calmer. Notice how connected you feel if you just sit there and just breathe for a moment. Now, when I was in Costa Rica for the project earlier this year, and I was out in Monteverde, I went into this rainforest, and there were just these massive trees that had these different things growing on them. It just looked like every single massive tree had a story to tell, like that had been over like hundreds of years. They were just remarkably beautiful. And it was in that space that had me care even more for the environment. I cared about it before, but it's through being there, it's through understanding, it's through valuing it, it's through connecting with something that we actually care about something, and through caring about something that we'll actually do something about it. And it's not until we do something about it that we can actually solve the challenges that, in terms of doing something, it might be to stop eating meat, for example, or it could be to live more of a minimalist lifestyle so we're not having to extract the resources out of the ground. Whatever, it might be to be able to volunteer for a project that helps to plant trees. Whatever the things are, when we connect to something that is important to us and we develop an even deeper connection to it, we care about it more, and we do something about it as a result of that. And I think that's a really important thing to talk through and for people to go and do, and to do it regularly, because it can be very easy to just get stuck in the mundane day-to-day stuff and the busyness of life and lose sight of the things that are really important to us. And one of those, I believe, is nature. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what keeps us alive on this planet. It's not us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I enjoy going over to the park, and I literally hug the tree.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Become a tree hugger. Rock on. One of the things that I notice, I mean, everything, our science has proven this, everything has energy within it. Everything has energy. Everything is made up of energy.
Yes.
And if you go and put your hand on a tree and actually truly feel it, there's energy within that. And if you can connect with that, you're connecting at a really deep level. And whether you hug it, whether you touch it, whatever you want to do, or if you're just in there and just feel it.
Yeah. You mentioned the ancient or the old growth trees, and there is an old growth forest here in BC, and I had the opportunity to photograph it, and it's like, on one hand, it was a challenge trying to capture all of its grandness and things like that, but the spiritual connection back to the planet was like, I can't describe how great that is. It's like everybody has got to go experience this.
At the end of the day, we as human beings are part of this planet. We don't own it. And I think we as a species have come to feel and believe as a species, this is generalization, so it's not everybody. It's definitely not my beliefs anymore. Used to be, but definitely isn't anymore. That we have control over this, that we own it. But this planet has been here for billions of years. If we think that we can come and just own it after a very small amount of time on our planet, very small amount of existence, we got another thing coming. The nature is an amazingly powerful thing, and we must We must. If we want to evolve and we want to be able to explore and solve the mysteries of the universe in the future, we absolutely must be in alignment with what is here. Because if we're not, then we're going to run out of resources. We're going to kill off the... there's a great quote that I remember hearing in a... it was a documentary by Tom Shadyac called I Am. Great documentary. Guy who, very, very wealthy movie producer, who had an accident, changed a lot in his life, got rid of a lot of stuff. And towards the end of that documentary, he made this statement. He said, "We have a name in the body for something that takes more than it needs. We call it cancer." And I thought, wow. We on this planet right now are a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We take more than we need. Whereas you look at a rainforest, for example, nothing takes more than it needs. It doesn't take less. It doesn't say, oh, no, I won't take anything at all. But it takes the nutrients that it needs to thrive.
Right.
Because if it doesn't, then it'll die out.
Right.
But if it takes more than it needs, it will rot out. Mm-hmm. The same goes with cancer. What does a cancer do? A cancer ends up eating and killing off the thing, the very thing that keeps it alive.
Right.
And that's what we have the opportunity to move through and evolve past, is learning how do we evolve through this and continue to grow as a species and to be able to, because ideally I would love for us to explore the universe and solve these mysteries and to be able to explore different galaxies and all of that amazing stuff that is, yeah. I believe is absolutely possible in the future. But we've got to learn and understand that if we don't live in alignment here in the first place, we are very limited in the amount of time that we've got to be able to do that.
Right. I agree with you. One last question, and then we'll get into how people can find you and take part in your project. What do you think as a human being, what is our part in nature? Where are we supposed to be? Where is our purpose in nature?
Yeah, this is good. I'm a big believer that we're stewards. We are stewards of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the beautiful ability to be consciously aware of what is happening and what is going on, which allows us to adapt behaviors based on that. Being a good steward of this planet is to learn and understand how to live in alignment with that. The other part is that I absolutely believe that we're here to create, we're here to explore, we're here to explore and solve the mysteries of the universe, to co-create with the universe. I mean, mm-hmm. we are these intelligent beings that has access to these the amazing abilities, and I believe we're here to expand those. That ultimately, if we aren't living in alignment with the planet overall, again, we're very limited in what we're going to be able to achieve, because there's only a certain amount of resources and there's only a certain amount of time that we'll have before we run out of that. Again, I think us waking up versus being hypnotized by the illusion that we have endless resources, or the illusion that we own this planet. I think the being consciously aware and having this ability to think has been our greatest asset and also our greatest liability,
right.
Because the thoughts of running through of and developing the need for power and greed and needing to overpower certain things versus living in alignment, I think that's our greatest opportunity, and it's also our greatest threat of extinction of our species at the end of the day, and ultimately the extinction of a huge amount of other species, which is happening right now on the planet as we're seeing.
Yeah. I've experienced that also recently, traveling across BC looking to find all these great things, all this great wildlife as I'm walking across the province, and discovering from people that work in the different parks and forests and things like that, oh, well, they were at the top of the mountain and they died.
Yeah.
Herds of goats and caribou and moose. loose and everything have just simply died.
It's
and that's not the impact that I think we should be making on our planet, you know.
No, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer that like nature's showing us the answer. It's showing us the answer. It's saying, hey guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Here's what needs to happen instead. I think, you know, we'll look back depending on the changes that we make over these coming years, and I believe everybody, even though it can seem like such an insurmountable thing that has to happen and changes that have to occur, it starts with each and every one of us.
Right.
If we reduce the demand for resources by living a minimalist lifestyle, for example, mm-hmm. it doesn't become profitable to extract the resources as much as they're being extracted right now, which means that it decreases the amount that's being cut down. When it comes to deforestation, if 80% of the rainforest is being cut down, which it is for, you know, in the Amazon right now for cattle ranching, and we stop eating beef or stop eating meat ideally altogether because it's detrimental to the planet from both an emissions point of view and also the deforestation. But just mm-hmm. let's just from a beef point of view, we stop eating it, and all of a sudden, the demand decreases and we stop cutting down the rainforest. And here's something to drive home here as well. It's something I really contemplated, especially being in the rainforest of Colombia and actually seeing firsthand rainforest being cut down, like with a chainsaw, literally. Devastating for me to see, like really heartbreaking to see these beautiful trees just being cut down. Some people have said, oh, but the meat that I eat isn't from the Amazon. And that's maybe a valid point, but I've been dwelling on that for a period of time. I thought, you know what? I don't think it is a valid point. Because if you look at, let's look at whales.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why whales are, the pressure is being put on Japanese culture at the moment is because people have said it's not okay to eat whales.
Right.
And so if we look at that argument, it's like, if you say, all right, no, I'm just going to eat the beef that is from...